could ask you for a little Bitcoin price prediction.
I think this cycle we'll see 250,000.
I'm Sonia Morton Firth, and you're tuned in to the Sonia Morton Firth Show. Today, my guest is Steve Woody, Army veteran, crypto investor, gamer, and author. In this episode, we take you through a step-by-step guide into crypto, meme coins, how and what to pick, Bitcoin price prediction, and what altcoins are the next ones to fly. Is it too late? If I'm an investor now and I'm like, wow, I love this. No. How do I get in? I've just heard Bitcoin's hit an all-time high. Is it too late for me to get into the market?
It's not too late. I mean, you could argue whether it's efficient and whether it's effective or not. I mean, you know, would you rather buy Bitcoin at 70,000 or 40,000, you know?
Will it ever get to 40,000?
Well, this is the other question. I mean, there's... You could argue, I mean, if you look at history and you look at the price of Bitcoin, it took the crypto market, I believe it was about 8 years for it to reach its first $1 trillion. It took 4 months to reach its second.
Wow.
I mean, when you look at the tail effect of how things run up, the adoption that we're seeing now it's like nothing we've ever seen before. It's absolute mania. And I don't believe it's tulip mania, because I think there has been an element of that with NFTs, and we've seen it with certain elements of the industry. But when we look at Bitcoin, because here's the other thing. Until now, and this is what you need to understand, until now, there's been a cycle. There's been seasons. It's been very predictable by looking at history. But I don't think people realize that things are changing. You see, in the past, what would happen is money would flow out of things like the S&P, you know, out of traditional stocks, out of other markets. They would flow into Bitcoin. Then it would flow out of Bitcoin into alternative coins. Altcoins are known as alternative to Bitcoin. So your layer networks, your other tokens have been created. And so what would happen is you would see large caps, blue chips, then you would see micro caps, small caps, and then you would see trash. And we've seen this with the meme coins, you know, but it's changed. Like, the meme coins seem to pop off first now. So we saw Bitcoin start to rally, and we saw that build up. Like, if you look at October 2023, when Bitcoin was at its lowest point, the run up between October 23 and April or March 24, where we are now, is phenomenal. I mean, we've gone from, you know, 20K Bitcoin to a 70K Bitcoin.
So how does that change the cycle that we've known? We've known it as a four-year cycle where Bitcoin typically hits all-time highs, and then the alts follow, yes, and memes, and then it all goes crazy, and then bam, yes, it crashes.
And then it crashes.
And that's usually 18 months typically after the halving, right? In a typical cycle.
I mean, it's different. I mean, when you look at the... And I think there's some other things to consider here. So if we look at the last cycle, I don't believe the last cycle was genuine. I don't believe it was something that we can take into consideration, because there was so much synthetic trading and manipulation through FTX. You know, there was degenerate gambling. There was people leveraging customer funds. So much of the market was propped up with fake trades that weren't real or weren't genuine. And so we actually saw a double top. We saw a peak, and then we saw another peak towards November in 20. Before the crash, the big crash was in May 22. And so before that happened, the actual peak was sort of like November 21. So we had a peak back in April, and then we had another one in November. But I don't believe that the second one was genuine. And if we look at the cycle before that in 2017, there was one big peak. Now, the challenge now is that in the past, money would flow into Bitcoin, it would flow out of Bitcoin into altcoins, and then the cycle would continue. And I think we're still going to see something similar to that, but it's different. And the reason it's different is because a lot of the money flowing into Bitcoin right now is through institutions and ETFs. That money can't flow into altcoins the same way as it did before. And it's a lot bigger now, there's a lot more of it. And so I think what's going to happen is we're going to have a supply shock. The people buying Bitcoin now won't sell it. Eventually, Bitcoin. So think about this, right? There is already, and this is, you can look at this on the data already shows this, that the demand for Bitcoin outweighs the supply more than 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. And so what's happening is we're just about to get a supply shock, because the rewards that the miners get, which is capped at 900 a day, is about to be halved. So there's only going to be 450 Bitcoin produced a day, which is already in demand. Institutions are going to keep buying it. There's Bitcoin is going to start becoming unavailable.
So what does that do to the price of Bitcoin?
This is where you start to see the price go up, because it has to adjust. It has to. There's no, all of the most brilliant minds in the world are all saying the same thing now. And the ones that aren't are for their own agenda, for whatever reason. You know, even when you look at BlackRock, you talk about Larry Fink, you know, he for a long time was saying, oh, don't buy Bitcoin. I'm pretty sure that he was buying Bitcoin when he was telling you not to, you know, because they don't want to buy the top. You know, sell the room. What is it? Buy the rumor, sell the news.
What do you think, if I could ask you for a little Bitcoin price prediction at the end of this cycle?
I think this cycle we'll see 250,000, but I'm very, very... I'm in the belief that we're going to see, well, I don't think this is the end, but I'm expecting to see seven figures. So I will see $1 million Bitcoin. But then it has to stabilize at some point.
$1 million Bitcoin in this cycle? Or
maybe not in this cycle, no. But I mean, who knows? Nobody knows. And here's the thing, and I'll say this. I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Nobody does. And the thing is, I'm willing to say it and admit it. There is no such thing as an expert in this space, because this space is too new. Nobody knows what they're doing. Everybody's winging it. Some people are more convincible than others, but nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody. Not a single person knows. We all just act upon what we can see in front of us, and we do the best we can. And we try to mitigate our losses, and we try to maximize our gains. And that's all everyone is trying to do. You have to remember that when you're making money in this industry, someone else is losing money. This is a PvP, a player versus player environment. And so for you to win, someone has to lose.
I think on that note, we should warn, because there are, you know, I'm glued to YouTube a lot of the time. And there's some, you know, there's some great content out there, some great educational content out there. But there is also a lot of what people call shilling, which is just another sort of term for sales. I don't know how you explain it, but you see these YouTubers and they are literally just doing sales pitch, and there's nothing, no basis to it. And I would advise people to be really careful on what they listen to. By all means, listen to it. Just take some of it with a pinch of salt and do your
absolutely
research.
Same with this. The first thing I say, and it's the first thing I said to you, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, do your own research. I'm winging it like everyone else. I believe in expectations and transparency. With a lot of these content creators, they're doing it for engagement. More than anything, what you'll find is that these people are doing it for the clickbait, the likes, the attention, because they get paid.
Tell everyone there, well, let's pause, press subscribe, please share and like. Sorry, that was...
You're not selling crypto, so this is fine. Yeah, you absolutely should. Go and subscribe. But here's the thing. I don't believe... Now, this is just my opinion. I don't believe in crypto courses, people that are selling crypto courses and crypto education. And the reason for that is... people that are making enough money in crypto simply don't need another source of income. If you're making, and it's so easy to make money in crypto right now. I mean, making money and keeping money are two very different conversations. But making money in crypto is very, very easy. If you're making so much money in crypto, you don't need to charge people to teach them how to do it. I believe that the people that are teaching this stuff aren't making it or aren't keeping it. Because the people who are genuinely making real money in crypto and keeping it will give away all of the education for free because they can. And the people who truly believe in crypto and what it can become, they want people to be involved. People like myself, I want people to get into this space safely, and I don't want people to get wrecked. So if I can help to educate people for free with no expectations, that you can learn how to be secure, how to protect yourself, where to look, what to do, And just give you, I mean, you're going to have to get hurt because that's part of life. That's experience. You need that experience. Complacency is the number one killer in this space. When you think you know everything, the market has an incredible way of humbling you. And the people that have been scammed or hacked or have had a problem has normally come down to the aftermath where they've sat down and they've reflected and they've said, I knew better.
Can we just take, maybe if we could give the audience three, I'm going to say three, there's probably a lot more, maybe there's five or six security, right? So they've set up the bank account. They're investing in crypto. They've decided they want to invest a bit in Bitcoin. What are some of the security pieces of advice you could give somebody that's doing this?
Sure. I mean, we talked about so much stuff, and I apologize for anyone listening if it's a little bit, you know, we go all over the place with this. There's so much to cover. Let me
just
break
your passion, Steve.
Oh, I love it. I do, but I also I don't want people to be overwhelmed or confused. So let me break this down from the start here. Most at the end of the day, you want to own Bitcoin. That's the goal. But Bitcoin doesn't grow as quickly as other assets. So what a lot of people do is they look at other assets to generate the capital to then be able to invest in Bitcoin. Bitcoin's always the end goal. But getting there are other ways that you can do that. And so you have to first consider, when you're going to buy your crypto, what you're going to buy it on. There's two options. You have a centralized exchange or a decentralized exchange. A centralized exchange is basically just a company that you're buying it from. There's Coinbase, there's Binance, there's Kraken. There's all of these different centralized exchanges. They're normally trying to do things along in line with the government, and they're normally not regulated, but they're trying to work alongside regulations. Decentralized exchanges is basically a peer-to-peer network. It's me buying from you using a third party, and they take a fee for that. Now, you're going to get much better opportunities and deals on a decentralized network, but ultimately the centralized network is going to be quicker and easier and more convenient. Now, the problem with this is you're going to pay for convenience. You're always paying more in fees for convenience, the spread. So what you buy and sell for is going to be worse than a decentralized network normally. But there's trade-offs. Well, here's the thing. This is what you must understand. A centralized exchange, okay, and the key is in the name. It is an exchange. It is there for you to exchange your assets. You put your assets onto the exchange, you exchange your assets, and then you take your assets off of the exchange, because it is not a centralized storage solution. And the key about this, and this is really what it comes down to, is it's about sovereignty. It's about ownership of wealth and your ability to be able to own your wealth. But with that, as Spider-Man once said, with great power comes great responsibility. If you are going to be sovereign of your own wealth, you are in control. That means you can lose it. And we've seen this in the paper. We've seen this talked about where people have been traipsing through rubbish sites trying to find their hard drive that had their crypto on it because they've lost it. They're not looking for crypto. Crypto doesn't live on your phone. It doesn't live in a wallet. It doesn't live on a device. Crypto always lives on the ledger, on that blockchain. It never leaves it. Every single token ever created is in the contract. What you are doing is you are using a set of keys known as your crypto keys, your seed phrase, to access that network. And then you are telling that network, I want to take this crypto from here and send it to there. And so it shouldn't even be called a wallet, a Web3 or a crypto wallet. It should just be called a keychain, because that's effectively what it is.
That's really key. Because I, you know, and I've been educating myself on this for a couple of years now. And every time I set up a new wallet, mentally, I've got this thing about, oh yeah, my crypto's in this wallet. I can't lose the wallet. But absolutely, it's just the keys. And it is quite a psychological thing, because we use that term wallet, to actually assume that your crypto,
that something's in it, yeah,
is sitting in there.
No,
so I think
there's
that's
nothing
really
in it.
That's so fundamental, because actually, once you understand that actually, don't worry, the crypto hasn't gone anywhere. What you need to worry about is don't lose your keys.
Yes. So there's a famous saying: if it's not your keys, it's not your crypto. And so when you're using a centralized exchange, you're effectively using their keys. And if you're logging into an app, you're using their keys. So you need your own keys, which is why you need a decentralized wallet, a non-custodial decentralized wallet. And there's some really good ones out there. The two that I'd recommend are MetaMask and Phantom, if you're going to download them. But you need to be careful, because you have to be aware of security. There are always going to be people out there that are trying to take away from you. So, for example, in the App Store, in the past, there's been copycats. There's been fake MetaMask accounts. If you have a virus or you have some malware on your computer. Maybe you have a keylogger or something that can see your keystrokes, or maybe you're in a, on a public Wi-Fi and somebody's watching your data that you're sending. You have to consider all of these things, because when you're setting up those keys, if anybody was to get access to those keys, they could very easily access your crypto. And it doesn't matter if you're using a device like a hardware wallet or anything like that. I can take the keys from a hardware wallet and I can put it in any wallet anywhere and access your crypto without the hardware. So you just have to be aware that there's levels of security. And I've got videos on this. I've got free videos on YouTube where we go into this in much more depth. So if you want to learn about this stuff, Sonia, if you're happy to post the link,
we're going to put the links down, because you've got wealth of knowledge. But
that is what I would recommend, because you need to educate yourself on security more than anything else. You should have control of you should have custody of your wallet more than anything. So what you would do is you would set up a wallet in a very secure way. Those seed phrases, those keys, should never be put onto a computer. You should never use public Wi-Fi, never use hotel Wi-Fi or a cafe, never use Wi-Fi. In fact, you should only ever use an Ethernet connection. You should make sure your computer, you've got virus software on there, that you've done your checks. Make sure that no one's around you. If you're writing it on a pad, make sure there's no paper underneath the pad so it doesn't indent when you're writing. You know, if you've got your seed phrase and you've written it down on a bit of paper, consider laminating it, so that it can't get wet, or, you know, put it into a fireproof bag in a safe. Even consider something known as Shamer's secret sharing, which is cutting it in half, so you now have two parts of it, and storing it in different locations. There's a lot of things you can do to, this is your wealth at the end of the day. You know, and if you're only dealing with $100, I mean, maybe this isn't important to you, but if you start dealing with lots of money, and as I said, I run up to $1 million through that last cycle, that's life-changing money for me. I want to protect that. And I want to know that I'm doing everything I can, because when you get attacked, it's normally something you've done in the past that's laid dormant that you're not aware of. So start the way you mean to go on.
And I'm guessing this is going to be very overwhelming for people. I'm certainly not a tech person, very much not a tech person. And it was the tech that actually overwhelmed me. I understood the sort of theory, the macro, why I wanted to invest, but I was terrified about, you know, pressing the wrong buttons.
Well, let me help, because here's the other side to it. Sometimes the fear of doing something stops people doing it, and it's better to take action than to do nothing at all. So whilst that's an ideal scenario for you to have that sovereignty, and that can be a stepping stone that you work towards, as an entry level, just get started. You can download an app called crypto.com. It's probably, and in fact, the easiest app to use. Everybody that I got involved in that in the last cycle did incredibly well from it. They have a debit card that you can, it's like a prepaid debit card, so you can put your crypto. I buy my mum's shopping with her crypto card, and she gets a rebate in crypto every week. So you get cash back on it. So she's getting like 5% cash back in crypto every week on her shopping.
And you can just go ahead and apply for the credit card? How does it work?
It's free, yeah. It doesn't cost anything. You can apply for the free one. They have different stages. So you can lock some of your crypto up, and then you can get better rewards. For example, for the card that I've got, I get Twitter's. They pay for your Twitter account. They pay for Netflix, Spotify, Amazon. So all of that, I still pay for it on the card, but they rebate me, or they send me a rebate in terms of crypto.
And that's all available on the app. You can do
all on the app. You can just log into the app. Even my dad uses it, and he's not a tech person at all. So it's very, very easy to be able to use it. You can even stake your money. So staking is like a savings account. So you can take your crypto, you can lock it up for like 30 days, and you can earn like 5% APR on it. You know, there's different opportunities. And the more you play with the app, the more you'll see. But here's the thing. It's convenient. Whenever you have convenience, you pay a premium for that. So it's not going to be the most effective way. You'll probably spend more money buying and selling using crypto.com than if you were to shop about. It's like anything. It's like car insurance. You know, you always get a better deal when you do your research. So it's a great place to start, but just know that there's more efficient ways to do things. Also, if for any reason in the future, the government says, we want to block that account, then they are under obligation to do that, for whatever reason. So just know that, like in your bank account, if you want to go to your bank, and if you're dealing with $10, $20, $50, $100, you're never going to notice this. But go to your bank if you've got the ability to, and ask them to draw out $100,000 and see what they say. You know, You know, tell them you want to draw out $250,000. Go into the bank and just say, can I have it now? They'll probably tell you no. You'll have to come back in 2 days. And then they'll ask you what you want the money from. Where did you get the money? How did you make the money? Where's the money going? What are you spending it on? Are you sure you want to spend it on this? We're not going to let you spend it on that. And so it becomes very apparent very, very quickly that when you're dealing with large sums of money, you don't actually own that money when it's in the bank. The bank owns it. And it's almost like they're doing you a favor by giving it to you. And so it's no different. A centralized exchange is no different to a bank. It is a gateway. And the ultimate end goal for true decentralized ownership is for you to have a non-custodial wallet that you are in control of, that you are confident in the security of, and that is how you can protect your sovereignty. And that is what this is all about.
And as you mentioned, there are various forms. There's the hot wallet and the cold wallet, and you go through that in some of your videos or put links to. So, okay, so someone's got started. They've signed up with, say, crypto.com. They've bought the first lot of maybe a Bitcoins.
You know what people are going to buy. It's going to be the meme coins. It's going to be a dog or a frog or some trash that's going to be worthless.
Because although we've said Bitcoin could potentially, who knows, could get to 250,000 this cycle, who knows? Don't take us at our word, but it could do. But maybe you want to make more gains. Maybe you want to get a little bit degen or degenerative, as the expression is. What do I invest in, Steve? What are the good things? You know, I've heard of these. I've heard of AI. I've heard of gaming tokens. I've heard of DeepIn. There are so many different things. What's the best narrative? Where do I go from here?
Utility. Always go for the utility. And don't necessarily look at what works now, look at what's going to work next. So if I was just to give you the quick overview, and obviously there's a lot more that goes into this, the first thing I'm going to be looking at is networks. What are the main networks that are going to survive? So you've got Solana. At the moment, Ethereum's what everyone knows. I'm controversially known at the moment for saying I don't think Ethereum survives. And people that love Ethereum will tell me I'm crazy and I'm stupid, but if you've ever used Ethereum as a network, you'll understand how bad it is, right? So, okay. You spend $200 to make a $10 transaction. It makes no sense. And the average person just simply won't do it.
And just to play devil's advocate there, obviously Ethereum was the number two to Bitcoin. It's the big daddy down from Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That
was MySpace in terms of social media.
And they're going to bring out, there's talks of them approving an ETF in May. Now that's just talks at the moment, and it does need to be rubber stamped by the SEC in the US. Would that not sort of make ETH still the next big thing?
I see Ethereum as a, if anything in the future, I see Ethereum as more of a B2B than a B2C. It's more business to business than business to consumer. It's becoming too expensive, and maybe they change it, maybe they fix it. It's kind of the OG, the maxis are on there, the people, you know, it's got that, it's got the roots. I don't think Ethereum is going anywhere, but it's like, we live in a world where we value convenience. We value convenience over security. And if you don't believe me, look on your mobile phone at the apps you've got on your phone and tell me what code's being used and what the developers are doing with your information. You don't have a clue. You download an app because you want the app. You don't look at how the app's built or what they do with the information. You just trust blindly. And this is my point. We value convenience. Yeah. And at the moment, Ethereum is simply not convenient. It just isn't. And whether it is in the future or not, remains to be seen, but there are just much better options out there for use cases right now.
Okay, so where would you put your money, Steve? Come on, let's talk down and let's get down and do it.
So if I was to be investing in networks, I wouldn't put everything in one place. I made this mistake before. So before, I invested in a network called Luna. And on top of that, so not only was I involved in the main protocol, but I was involved in multiple different applications within that protocol. And what I didn't realize, and this was my lesson in hindsight, was I was overexposed to that network because I had UST, which was the stable coin. I had Anchor. I had multiple other projects and I had Luna itself. So when the Luna network crashed, all of it disappeared. So you have to understand about diversification. So I would have some Ethereum. I would also have some Solana. I would also have some AVAX. I would also look at different networks that are out there. There's some great networks. Whether it's Polygon-matic, whether it's Ronin, whether it's IMX, if you're into gaming, no matter what it is, you want to have a range of tokens. So without going into too much detail, basically what you're looking at is utility. So I would say right now, the layer ones, the layer twos, they're key. Oracles are very good search engines. So the Googles, like what's going to be the Google, what's going to be the things like you might be looking at. Link is a good one. You've got Graph. You've got Theta Network. There's so many tokens out there. I think Quant is a great network. For exchanges, we've seen Binance and the challenges that's happened with the CEO stepping down. We saw what happened to FTX. We've got, there's LCX, which is already government regulated, which is a great exchange that nobody knows about right now. So maybe that's something to invest in. You have to look at the different networks. And then you've got the decentralized networks. You've got the PancakeSwap, the Uniswap. You know, you've got the, on AVAX, there's Trader Joe. On Solana, you've got Radium and Jupiter. And Jupiter's incredible. They did an airdrop recently. I didn't even know I was going to get it. And I got sent $15,000 for nothing. Just because I'd use the network. I mean, the money that is out there at the moment is insane. It is absolutely insane. But it's real. If you take it and you take the opportunity, it's there. So then what I would do once I've loaded up with a part of my portfolio into those areas, I would look at, well, what's the future? We know AI is a trend at the moment. We think it's here to stay. Great. We know computing power is important. We've seen that with NVIDIA. So I would be looking at Render, because Render have got ties in with Apple. They were noted at Apple's keynote a while back. And so they're being used to render the GPU, the graphical processing power that's required for all of these computations. I would be looking at lots of different AI tokens, especially AI rendering tokens. You've got Node AI, you've got Super that's going on at the moment, you've got OPSEC, which has got a little bit of controversy around it, but OPSEC looks quite good. Then I would be looking at privacy tokens, because here's the thing. Once the government rolls out their crypto, you have to understand there's different versions of crypto. The government's version of crypto is called a CBDC, a centralized bank digital currency. And a CBDC, the best way this was ever explained to me was by a gentleman called Siam Kidd. Great guy, very knowledgeable. You should YouTube him. He's called Siam Kidd. He is a trader and he's very, very well, I would say, educated in this space. He said, and I love this quote, if I was a farmer and I had cattle in a field, I wouldn't just walk out into my field with a shotgun and shoot the first one because it would scare the other cattle. I would use a funnel to filter them into an abattoir. That is what a CBDC is. It is filtering the general public into an abattoir, because once you are 100% on the blockchain for the government, they have the ability to click their fingers, negative interest rates. There is nothing you can do about it.
And let's just describe, because this is actually happening in China. This is happening in certain parts of the
Absolutely
world.
Absolutely, it is.
So if you don't take your trash out, let's just use an easy
example. You lose your social score,
Your social score goes down, and they literally can take their hands and take the money via CBDC.
Or stop you spending it. You can't buy car insurance, or you can't go on holiday. Yeah.
And that is so scary. That is Big Brother stuff. That is taking away your freedom, your liberties. That to me is why I'm so invested in crypto. It's not CBDC, and people, I think, make the sort of the confusion about the two things, because they're both digital, but they're both very, very different.
Well, I see two sides to this, because also, and I love to play devil's advocate here, if somebody wants to live like that, then that's okay. Because some people like the control. Some people like people looking after them. And some people want the security that they can walk down the street at night and not have to worry about, you know, anything bad happening to them. So sometimes playing the game and being feeling protected, that's enough for some people. And if that's you, great, you know, that's fine. You can go and live in China and do that. But ultimately, you should have a choice. You should have a choice. And I think that's what this is all about. This is about having the choice. If you don't have money, you don't have a choice. It's as simple as that. You're reliant on somebody else. And if you're reliant on a government, they're always going to be able to control you.
Yeah.
And so you have to have independence. And so sovereignty, independent wealth that is not tied to a government. And that, again, is why Bitcoin is so important. All of the other technology, all of the other things I'm talking about here, the only purpose that I have right now of acquiring these assets is because they generate yield faster than Bitcoin does. But the end goal is always to convert that into Bitcoin and hold that as my store of wealth.
Okay, so we did digress.
Yes,
but getting
privacy
back
coins is definitely something I would look into. Gaming tokens, I think if you look at gaming, whether it's Audible, if you read books, you know, they're always saying, hey, you've got a badge for reading this book. Go on to Fitbit or Nike or any of these websites or apps. They gamify the process to encourage you to for retention and to progress. We love to feel like progression. And so I think
any top gaming tokens that you can mention?
Yeah, so I think gaming is going to be the key to mass adoption, and I think it's going to go parabolic. Like we've seen at the moment meme coins. So meme coins where people are buying into like frogs and dogs and all of this stuff. We've seen all of the presidents. Yeah, dog with hat, and we've seen the president stuff that's going on at the moment, and there's some other stuff that's going on. And it's very, and I was very against this because I thought originally I hated it because when I looked at meme coins, I thought this is so tacky, it's so cheesy. It really devalues what's trying to be built here. It makes to outsiders, it makes it look bad. But then I looked into it to understand the other side. Why are people doing it? Yes, it's absolute degenerate gambling. Yes, it is. But if you're okay with that and if you understand it and you take it for what it is, it's fun. And it's a cultural thing. It brings people together. People can laugh and joke and have joy. And you're seeing it on Twitter at the moment. There are communities who are just laughing about this. And there's a token right now that's trending. I'm not saying you should go and buy it. You absolutely shouldn't. But there's a gentleman called All Nick who's on Twitter at the moment. He's got a token called Nick. And that is just going parabolic at the moment. You've got all of the influencers and all of the people tweeting about it. So what I would say is if you are that type of degen who is desperate, and actually, if somebody was getting into crypto and they didn't have a lot of money, I would probably tell them to start with meme coins, because there is nothing in the world right now. There is nothing in the world where you can take $250 and turn it into $50,000 in 2 or 3 days.
But
there
just
is nothing like it.
Prepared to lose it all.
You could lose everything. You have to be willing, and you have to be expecting, because 99% of the time you will lose everything. But if you're smart, you can make this work. And the top trader in meme coins at the moment on Solana network, in terms of net revenue profit, took $26 million last month. Last month, that's a trader, it's a bot. And so when you understand that you don't just go and buy meme coins from a market based on what they're called, you have to understand how a meme coin works. You have to understand that it's a cultural thing, that it's all about inclusion, that it's about communities. And so you have to go onto these community boards first, like Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, and you have to find the things that people are excited about and that they're talking about. Dog with hat, you could have seen it coming a mile away if you were in that space. You know, when you look at these tokens, when you're looking at them on Binance or Coinbase, and when they're being listed or they're talking about them in the news, it's too late. You've missed the opportunity. You have to be in at the ground level with your feet, in the trenches, with the people. And if you're not willing or wanting to do that, then just stay away from it. Just don't get involved, because yes, there's incredible money to be made, but it will not last. And so what you can do, if you want to be smart and you don't want to take the risk and gamble, you can ask yourself the question, where are these degenerate gamblers going to go next? What happens when meme coins are no longer profitable? Because they're still going to be degenerate gamblers, and they are still going to need to scratch that itch. And so one of the typical places that we see this money flowing is out of meme coins and into Web3 gaming, specifically loot boxes. Loot boxes gives people the opportunity to buy a box, to open it up, and they have some skins or items for a game inside it. And we've seen this inside games like CSGO. Incredible money being spent on these in-game items. And so when I look at gaming tokens and what's happening in gaming, Alluvium, incredible game. Star Atlas, incredible game. Honeyland, incredible mobile game. There's so many incredible games that are being built right now. Genopets, I think, is a great game. I'm really in love with what they're doing and what they're building. Boomlands, great potential there as well. There's so many great games. Block Lords is another one to check out. I'm just throwing some names out there. You have to go and do your own research. There's so many. Wow. What I would do, rather than listening to the tokens that I'm saying, go to a website called Mazari.io. Mazari.io. On there, there's a tab called Screener. Click on that. You have to sign up for a 7-day free trial, but click on that tab, and then it says sector or category. sort every single cryptocurrency that's in existence into category and look by market cap at what are the top in each sector. You'll see privacy coins, you'll see currencies, you'll see smart contracts, file storage, you'll see gaming. Take the top tokens, the top five, and just put a little bit in each of those.
And that's a great way of making your portfolio, isn't it, Steve?
It's a great way of getting started.
To diversify, the same as you diversify your, all your wealth across different asset classes. Steve, you have given so much alpha here. It has been fantastic. Let's just do a few key takeaways for our audience. What would you say the key takeaways are from our conversation?
When emotion goes up, intelligence goes down. So always make sure you have a strategy before you get started. Because when the markets go up, it is almost impossible to maintain composure. When you see your portfolio going up, there is always a temptation to wait because it might just go up a little bit more. And it might just go up a little bit more until it stops going up. And then you end up chasing. And when you end up chasing, you can end up getting hurt. So my top tip is going to be know when to exit and know when to enter and plan it beforehand. You can act on impulse, of course, but your bigger, longer-term strategy, it shouldn't be done drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning, emotional. It should be done in a controlled environment. I would also say journal everything and journal it manually. Don't use these automated software to write your journals or to automate your transactions. Manually write them down in a Google Sheet because there is power in going through things and understanding why you did what you did. Because if there are any mistakes or any problems, you'll be able to identify them and stop making them in the future. You will make mistakes. That's okay. This is a learning process. You just need to make sure that the mistakes you make don't hurt you too much. And then that comes down to security. There is no point being the best trader in the world and making millions of dollars if someone can just steal it from you like that. So make sure that if you are going to take control of your sovereignty and your wealth, that you do it in a very secure way. And have fun.
Have fun. I think that is the main point. Have fun. Buy your dog with hat. Just know you might lose it all.
take a risk, but do it in a way. Look, if you went out for a night out to the pub and you said that you were going to take out, I don't know, £50 and you were going to spend that on alcohol, and at the end of the night that was done and you were never going to see it again, but you're okay because you had a good time, great. Then treat it in the same way. Like that's the way, if you go to the casino, you know, you're not going to take your mortgage or your life savings with you. And it's the same thing here. Don't get carried away because it's easy to do it. It's easy to get sucked in. But yes, there is life-changing money to be made here.
And I think that this is it. You're not too late to get in. Do your research. Steve, where can people find out more about you? And you've got a whole lot of information you have on, you know, your YouTube channel, your videos as well.
I would say the two places I'm most prominent at the moment are Twitter, or it's always going to be Twitter for me, X, X and YouTube. If you want to watch any of my videos, I do post a lot of videos. Some of them might not interest you. A lot of gaming that I do on there, but I do a lot of crypto education as well. It's Undisputed Noobs on YouTube.
Explain that. Undisputed Noobs.
I can explain that for you. And if you're on Twitter, it's just Steve Woody. But the O's are zeros because someone took my name. So Steve Woody with 2 zeros.